morning, everyone. Welcome to the March 26th meeting of Fulton City Council.
Before we call the roll, just read some ground rules for everyone so you know how things work here in our chambers. First, if you are here to testify on an item before the council today, you just need to state your name before you speak. You don't have to give us your address or anything. If you're a lobbyist in representing an organization, please disclose that and tell us who you're representing. Each person who's invited to speak will be given 3 minutes unless there's some prior arrangement, and we'll ask you to stop when your time runs out. Please testify only to the matter at hand. If you're here on a council calendar item, speak to that item. So that everyone feels welcome, please be courteous and respectful. If you appreciate what someone's saying, raise your hands, but let's not have applause and demonstrations in the chamber unless it's simply celebrating something, which we will occasionally do here. Disruptive behavior won't be tolerated, so if for some reason you are disruptive, we'll have to ask you to leave. If you have any handouts, please provide them to the council clerk, and she'll distribute them. So thank you, everyone, for coming. Sue, so would you please call the roll?
Here.
Fish.
Saltzman.
Here.
Novick.
Here.
Hales.
Here. Before we begin the council calendar this morning, I want to welcome a distinguished delegation from Kenya here, who are here as under the guidance of First Stop Portland, our favorite local program. And I want to welcome to the council chambers this delegation from Laikipa County, Kenya. And Patrick Mariru, who is the head of the delegation, is here. Wanted to give him a chance to come up and greet the council and tell us a little bit about what they're studying here in the U.S. These are officials from local government in Kenya that are literally figuring out some of the mechanics of how this will work. So an exciting time for you and your country, and we appreciate you being here. Welcome.
Thank you very much, the mayor and the council. My name is Patrick Mariru. I'm the speaker of the county assembly of Laikipia. That's one of the counties, I imagine the equivalent of states here in the U.S. We have 47 of them in Kenya. So Laikipia is one of those counties. I have a delegation with me of 10 people. Most of them are elected members of the county assembly. But also we have one of them who is an executive committee member, equivalent of a minister here, and we have ministers there as well. If we could mention, have a minute, that in the year 2010, Kenya adopted a new constitution, and one of the significant features of that constitution, we went to the devolution route. For 50 years, Kenya has had a central government, one central government. But in 2010, the Kenyan people decided that we should have regional governments, 47 of them. Now, that was in 2010. The governments came into place in 2013 after the general elections. So this delegation and this county is barely 1 year old. And we are very, very, very excited to be here. As you can imagine, the mayor, the responsibility that is in the shoulders of this inaugural leadership. And so we are very pleased to be here with First Stop Portland, who have been extremely, extremely kind to us and given us opportunity to interact with different officials, see, listen, and engage. And we go home this Saturday with enormous and huge learnings from Portland. And thank you very much for giving us an opportunity to come here and listen for a few minutes, the chamber deliberations. Thank you very much, and we do appreciate.
Thank you for coming, and we hope you enjoy, if not the weather, at least the experience of being here this week. And we hope that our staff and our bureaus have all been good resources for you, and just we're really excited about the opportunity you have. Nancy was saying when she greeted you at the airport that this was something like greeting, you know, James Madison and Alexander Hamilton in our country, you know, the people who wrote the Constitution and started the governmental framework, and you are literally in that place in Kenya now with this new constitution. So it's an exciting time, but I'm not sure you feel the responsibility of being the authors of what the future is going to be. So it's impressive.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome.
Okay.
Welcome.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Thank you all. Okay, let's start with communication items, please, number 278.
278, request of Kelly Roberts to address council regarding clean and safe and the police taking everything.
Kelly, are you here this morning? Okay, then let's move on.
279, request of Michael Withy to address council regarding eco-villages and neighborhood support centers.
Good morning, Michael. Welcome.
Mike Withy. So we have some good news on the low-income housing perspective. We've got a few programs going on that have nothing to do with tax money. It's all privately funded. We did have a meeting with Amanda Fritz. Thank you, Amanda. Concerning Home First Development. Home First Development's a nonprofit corporation that builds low-income housing here in Portland. They've contracted to build 500 units in the next 5 years. We're working together with them to build eco-communities. The Lentz Neighborhood Association has agreed to let us start there. So we'd like to go ahead and put at least 30 small eco-buildings in Lentz. We're working with St. John's as well. All of these permanent housing solutions include no tax money. We'd like to change that. We would like some assistance from the government. So we would like to meet with you, Mr. Mayor. I've been trying for a few weeks to arrange that.
Bear with us.
Right. I know you're busy. But as far as neighborhood support centers are concerned, neighborhood support centers are kind of unique because they're privately funded as well. But they include services for just the people in the neighborhood. So even though they're basically for preventing homelessness, they are shelter as well. But in order to receive these services, you have to live in the neighborhood. So I was asked several months ago to find a way to get the neighborhoods involved. And so by restricting, if you will, the services to just local people, they're willing to do it and they're excited to do it. So these three things are something that are housing issues, but there are, like Rob Justice says, there's three other points to the homeless issue. One of them being work. We need to find people work. Or an income, some kind of an income. Work would be good. So there's also the health issue, mental health issue. So thankfully, Obamacare kicked in, so that a lot of that's going to be alleviated. We also have the issue with law enforcement. Law enforcement is not really helping the homeless issue. I listened to an OPP, Oregon Public Broadcasting, conversation the other day with an NLG lawyer and a county prosecutor. And the county prosecutor said two times that it is a city policy that they ticket people with misdemeanors. They like to give misdemeanors so that people will move away from the city. So it's a target audience that they have. So that's something that needs to be taken care of as well. So we would like you to come to the HRC, maybe not you, but maybe you can send a staff member to the Human Rights Commission meeting on April 2nd. We're going to give another presentation for these housing solutions, as well as the whole overall solutions that we have for homelessness. So, okay.
Right, thank you.
Please tell the folks at home what time the Human Rights Commission meeting is and where it
meets. Starts at 4 to 6:30. Our presentation, we're on the agenda from 5:10 to 5:30.
And where do they meet?
At, I think it's 428 Southwest 6th, right. Or 2.
The Commonwealth Building.
The Commonwealth Building, right. That's right. Yeah,
right.
Good.
Thank
okay.
you very
good.
Much.
Thanks, Michael. Thank you very much. Okay, next one.
Item 280, request of Colonel Moses to address council regarding the homelessness issue.
Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. I waited in line for 2 months for my 3 minutes, and I still don't know what to say. Little over 2 years ago, there was a prayer vigil that was started out in the plaza, which was used to be a parking lot and then was designated as an interface for the public and the government. And a little over 2 years ago, I set up a prayer vigil there for the homeless people because right now the city of Portland has a law on the books that makes blankets illegal. Talk about human rights. You got people out there freezing to death, and you're going around and taking their stuff, their only belongings, throwing it in the police evidence locker, and if they can make it out there in 10 days, you don't trash it, huh? Yeah, and then you give them a citation for illegal camping or loitering. They probably lived in this town longer than you have. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. Instead of answering the prayer vigil or any of the constituents attached to it, you replaced it with a sausage stand. What do you think Jesus thinks of your sausage stand? I don't think he likes it. I know I don't. I sure would like blankets to be legal so somebody could stay warm at night, so they could get a night of sleep, maybe have some mental capacity the next day. But no, they're chased around town. Their stuff's taken away. Their blankets are taken away. And people are furious, and you are responsible. You four, and you, Mr. Fish, former housing commissioner. You know what some people are doing, some governments? They're putting all their homeless in houses. And you know what they're finding? The facts are it costs them less to house every homeless person than it does to round them up with the police and take them to the hospitals. Give them mental health services. Think about that. Housing first. You got thousands of people out here freezing every night, and you do nothing. You sit there day after day after day.
Thanks. Are you finished?
No. I'm not finished until you legalize blankets. God help us. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves. You really ought to do something. You have the power right now in your hands. Do something. Anything other than give money to landowners to provide low-income housing. That's great. You know where all the money for houselessness goes? It goes to landowners so they can milk people with rented structures. Way to go, dudes and dudette.
Thanks. Okay. Next one.
281, request of Chris Coleman to address council regarding raising awareness about outreach and diversity efforts at Portland Center Stage.
Good morning, Chris. Everybody. Good to see you all. I just wanted to come and thank you on two fronts. First, I stood before this group 11 years ago, and the council and Mayor Katz at the time helped to greenlight what became the Armory, which is the new home for Portland Center Stage. That project would never have happened if this body hadn't decided to help. And I just wanted to share some of the successes of that support. Our last year in the PCPA, overall attendance was 88,000. This last year, it was 162,000. 10 years ago, less than 2% of that audience was between 25 and 35 years old. Today, 18% of the audience is between 25 and 35.
What were those again? Say that again.
So 10 years ago, 2%.
2%. Wow.
Today, 18%. Wow. Number of donors, last year in PCPA was 1,500. This now it's over 6,000. So huge growth. And then the big win, really, I think, for the citizens of the community, over 40,000 people a year come into the building for something other than a theater performance. And that could be an environmental lecture or a fundraiser or a jazz concert or a film shoot. We've had 80 weddings and about 25 bar mitzvahs. So it's been an amazing community resource. And the thing that happens as a result of the RAC funding that you guys provide, so 162,000 people saw a show last year. 22,000 people saw a show at a discounted rate. And that could be anywhere from $5 off to a half-price ticket from the Chinook book to almost 3,000 people saw a show for $5 using their Oregon Trail card. 7,600 students saw a show 3,800 of them saw it for free. And a lot of that is made possible because of the funding that you deploy through the Regional Arts and Culture Council. So I just wanted to offer my thanks for all that you're doing on that front. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, because that's a reminder. It's actually not us. It's the taxpayers of Portland who are
absolutely
funding the arts tax.
Absolutely.
Which is due by April 15th. And
thank you. Amen. Amen.
Right. Pay that arts tax, more good things will happen. All right. Thank you. Hey, Sue, ready for the next one.
Item 282, request of Kelly Barnes to address council regarding observations as a community member of the Portland Water Bureau Budget Advisory Committee.
Good morning, Kelly. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for having me here, and thank you for the opportunity to participate as a community member in the Portland Water Bureau Budget Advisory Committee. It was a large learning curve, and I do feel that my observations are a very limited lens on the process. However, I did attempt to do some due diligence as a community member, and I am happy to say that I did support the 7% rate increase, not for the obvious reasons that may be discussed in the community, but because in looking at the budget, it was an appropriate increase to suggest. What isn't really indicated in the media is that stormwater and sewer rates and water rates are distinct, and that the bureaus themselves are distinct bureaus. And I would like to draw some attention to that for citizens to be aware of. However, I do understand citizen concern of prior ratepayer use of money, and I would like to suggest to the council that the bureaus stay on core services and that perhaps a larger educational effort be put out towards our citizenship so that we may be informed and discerning citizens. I do believe it's very difficult to understand some of the details of these complex processes. And unless we're doing our own homework, the media doesn't necessarily help us in that process. And language that we hear, both from people with initiatives, as well as through the council, makes it difficult to know what steps to take in support of initiatives. I don't know how to do that in the community at large, you know, a large PR campaign. I have no idea, but I really think it's important for us and that we understand some of these details. I will say that I do have some recommendations that I outlined in my report, and one of those are possibly the consideration of an advisory board that extends beyond the budget advisory capacity. I believe that some of these situations of policy and fiscal matters overlap, and if we can be more discerning with community support and allow more transparency in your process, that only helps us in the government and the running of our city. And that may be a possible solution, in addition to CUB, which I do think is another layer that may support residential ratepayers. So I do support that process as well. I also think, while it's my last point, that the most important point to me as a citizen is, again, what I suggested is number five, outreach and education. And unless we're doing our own work, again, it's very hard for us to be discerning. So I highly recommend that staff and each of you as elected members of the council help us in that process, and I've been honored to serve in this capacity, and I hope that it is some support for the city and the governance. Thank you.
Well, thanks for providing this as well, Kelly, and I think you're frankly going above and beyond what is expected in terms of a citizen volunteer, but we appreciate it. I know all of us on the council and Commissioner Fish, too, we're looking for ways to try to explain these complexities to the citizens slash ratepayers, and we're looking for people like the Citizens Utility Board to look over our shoulder, as the BAC does, and say, have you considered this way to reduce costs or to make the system work better? So that's the spirit of your involvement, I understand, but don't not that you would ever be shy about giving us your advice, but please don't hold back.
That I'm not. Thank you.
I appreciate your suggestion for the year-round Bureau Advisory Committee. That's something that I have felt is long overdue in any bureau that doesn't have one. Several of them already do. And I have found in my bureaus that do that, that's tremendously helpful. I know that Commissioner Fish would want to thank you personally. He's on vacation with his school-aged child, and I see you brought your children with you. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for making it a priority during spring break to bring your children in. And you should know that we think your mom is absolutely fantastic, as I'm sure you do too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Keep it coming.
Actually, if I just may add a comment, I really appreciate your saying that we should do whatever we can to ensure that citizens know what bureau is funded by what source of money, because, I mean, that's something I think you're right. It's something that's not generally known. I mean, I think that probably very few people know that the general fund primarily goes to police, fire, and parks, for example, and that's separate from money for transportation and money for water and sewer. And I hope someday we'll see a day when that kind of stuff is taught in high school. Mm-hmm. But until then, I really appreciate your helping to try to spread that word.
Or middle school or younger.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If I may just say in that regard, I don't feel that the citizens necessarily know that our rate paying fees do go to the Portland Water Bureau for the budget expenses, as you're saying there, and that in the media that's often confused from the general fund. And it actually took me a while to tease that out as well. And in regards to your bureau, you know, in terms of transportation, I was very interested in the Willamette River Crossing project. It's a high sticker price item, and whether we could do other things, like putting pipes on bridges, for example. But then I read some of the information from your department and from the state indicating that those are vulnerable for seismic events. But again, that's not necessarily understood on such a large price sticker item, so it takes some research.
I don't know if you noticed, but actually Mayor Hales asked the same question, and we
I didn't
did some
know
research.
That.
We did some research on that based on his question.
So anyway, that came up at our dinner table, so
good.
Thank you.
Just one final point, too, that you mentioned about education, and one of the cuts in this year's proposed environmental services budget is $73,000 for the Southwest Watershed Education Program. So I think we should be expanding that, but you're right, it's a matter of convincing ratepayers and explain to ratepayers why that's good use of their rate-paying dollars.
Right. If I may make one last comment about that as a citizen, with this current initiative that we're voting on in May, it's easy to jump on the bandwagon and perceive that in the past the city hasn't necessarily been 100% responsible with our ratepayer dollars, for example, the Waterhouse. However, in looking at this fiscal lens, I haven't found that to be an issue. And the education that I had going up, for example, to Bull Run was an amazing experience. And I think as citizens, we forget about the value of our water. We forget about what that serves for us as citizenships. And I don't hear that in the media. I don't even necessarily hear that in our community. And that might be a piece that education can help. And with the current initiative, a lot of the funding appears to be coming from industrial water users that have a benefit to have less, really, sewer and stormwater rates. And those educational experiences and the environmental services that we have may become taken off the books, and a lot of progressive individuals may not be aware of that. That's why I do support as an individual keeping the bureaus within the city. However, I would love to see you be more proactive and to hear the citizens' concern, including things like privatization, commingle, and regionalization issues. And I suggest that in my report.
Mm.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Look forward to reading this. Thank you. Okay, let's see if we can just address the consent calendar before we move on to time certain. I don't believe there are any items that have been requested for removal. Anyone want to request an item removed from the consent calendar? If not, then let's take a roll call on the consent calendar.
Fritz.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, and now our 9:30 time certain, please.